Welcome to Torah Melacha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Hochheimer, and today we are studying Yecheskel, Perek Mem Gimel, Chapter 43. Over the last three prakim, Yecheskel has described in great detail the grounds of the Beis HaMikdash and its buildings. The descriptions, while grand, have still been sterile. We could become lost in the technicalities, and there was little to inspire us. This perek is the antidote to that distance. In this parak, Yecheskel sees the moment when the third Beis HaMikdash becomes awe-inspiring and filled with grandeur. He sees the return of the Shechina as it fills the Beis HaMikdash. Earlier in the Sefer, Yecheskel witnessed the Shechina leaving through the eastern gate. The Shechina fittingly returns through the same gate through which it left. The Shechina left in Prakim Aleph and Ches to travel with the Jewish people throughout Galus, where they were to suffer to help them change and grow. The Shechina would always be with them, and this obvious connection between Hashem and his people led to a Chilul Hashem when people assumed Hashem could not help the nation. The return of the Jewish people and the Shechina to the land of Israel repairs that Chilul Hashem. This parak is the beginning of the ultimate Kiddush Hashem. May it come speedily in our day. Pasuk Aleph, verse 1, Vayelecheni el Hashar, Shar Asher Poned Derech HaKadim. He, meaning the Malach, brought me Yecheskel to the gate that faced east. After measuring Har HaBayis, the Malach brings Yecheskel back into the temple ground through the same gate they had exited just before. It is here, at the place where Yecheskel had seen the Shechina leave, that he sees, Pasuk Beis, verse 2, Kvod Elokei Yisrael Ba, the glory of the God of Israel come. The name of Hashem in this Pasuk is Elokei Yisrael, the God of Israel. The Malvim says that this name emphasizes that Hashem's Kavod is revealed through his connection to the Jewish people throughout history. There is a special Hashgacha Pratis, divine providence, that ensures the Jewish people's survival. The goal of the remarkable journey of the Jewish people over time and space will be revealed when the glory of Hashem returns to the Beis HaMikdash. V'kolo k'kol mayim rabim v'ha'aretz ha'ira mikvodo. And its voice, the voice of the Shechina, was like the sound of many waters, and the earth shone from its glory. How and why is the Shechina compared to rushing water and light? The Mitzvah David explains that Yecheskel uses sensory terms to describe what he is experiencing because human beings can only grasp the infinite by comparing it to concepts we are familiar with. Yecheskel compares the Shechina to sound or light so he can help us grasp what he perceived, which was a relentlessly powerful and illuminating force. Yecheskel sees a vision like he has seen before when he saw the Shechina leaving at the destruction of Yerushalayim and like the vision he saw by the river in Perek Aleph, Chapter 1. The Kavod Hashem continues through the east gate, past the inner courtyard. When, Pasuk Hey, verse 5, Vatisaeni Ruach Vativieni, a Ruach, a spirit lifted me and brought me into the inner courtyard, where Yecheskel sees the glory of Hashem filling the bayis, filling the Heichal building. Until now, Yecheskel has been moved around by the Malach, and here he is moved by the strength of Nevuah. Hashem speaks to him while, Pasuk Vav, verse 6, V'ishaya Omed Etzli, and a man, the Malach, with his measuring rod, or a different Malach, stands by his side as an equal, receiving the Nevuah from the Kodesh Kodashim. Hashem promises that the Shechina will emanate from the Beis HaMikdash to the world. The Beis HaMikdash is Mekom Kisiv es Mekom Kapos Raglai, the place of my throne and the place of the soles of my feet. Asher Ashkan Sham Besoch Bnei Israel La'olam, where I will dwell in the midst of the children of Israel forever. The Radak teaches that the Beis HaMikdash Shalmala, the Beis HaMikdash above, is parallel to the Beis HaMikdash below. If Hashem is on his Kisei HaKavod, on his throne, the soles of his feet, which represents his influence, emanates through the Beis HaMikdash into the world. However, Hashem warns over the next few psukim that Bnei Israel should not locate the homes and offices of the political leadership near the Beis HaMikdash as was done in the past. And the house of Israel shall no more defile my holy name, neither they nor their kings. In the times of the third Beis HaMikdash, only the Kohanim and Leviim will live near the Beis HaMikdash, while the city for the rest of the nation will be a distance away. The Malbim explains that during the first Beis HaMikdash, when the world ran according to nature, although the Shechina was present and directed history, the kings helped execute Hashem's wishes in the world, so it was appropriate that they should live close by to the Beis HaMikdash. During the third Beis HaMikdash, Hashem's Kisei HaKavod will come down to the Beis HaMikdash. That level of holiness is so great that it cannot tolerate sin being physically close by. In the past, the kings did sin, biznu sam, with their unfaithfulness, serving idols in Yerushalayim, and ufigri malchehim b'mosam, and by the carcasses of their kings in their high places, when they buried the kings and Nevi'im in tombs in the city of Yerushalayim near the Mikdash. Because the palaces were next to the Mikdash, which were full of sin, this led to Pasuk Ches, verse 8, V'achal osam ba'api, I consumed them with my anger. Pasuk Tes, verse 9, a better solution in the future will be for the kings to move a distance away, so that V'shachanti b'socham le'olam, I will dwell in the midst of them forever. This terminology is familiar from the command in the Torah when Hashem commands Moshe to build the Mishkan. In the Midbar, the Kohanim and Levi'im lived directly around the Mikdash, protecting it from impurity. They also protected the nation as they stopped them from acting foolishly, which would have caused them to be punished had they come into the Beis HaMikdash into the Mishkan with this attitude. Here too, Hashem will dwell in the Mikdash with the Kohanim and Levi'im close by, protecting both the Mikdash and the people from themselves. Pasuk Yod, verse 10, begins a new section of the Perek. Hashem commands Yechezkel to teach the nation about what the third Beis HaMikdash will look like. Hageid es Beis Yisrael es Habayis. Tell the house of Israel, the house. V'kalmu me'avonoseihem umadzu es tachnis. When they will be ashamed of their sins, then let them measure accurately. The Malbim says that the two ideas are connected. Only if Bnei Yisrael are ashamed of their sins will they be worthy of learning the details of the construction. Rashi tells us that the details to follow in the next psukim were meant to inspire the people who are feeling disconnected from Hashem. Although the Jewish people have sinned, Hashem has not rejected them. He has great plans for them as a nation in the future. Similarly, the Radak feels that the people in Bavel are meant to build an actual three-dimensional model of the Mikdash. This model will be a sign for the people that though they are in Galus, one day there will be Mashiach and Tchias HaMesim when they will see this model in reality. This is not something just inspirational to do. It is important for Yechezkel's nation and us to review the details of the building so that we think about it. By doing so, we will be worthy of meriting Tchias HaMesim. This is Mida Kneged Mida, a match and consequence for behavior. If we don't believe in the coming of Mashiach, we won't merit to see the redemption. If we don't believe in the resurrection of the dead, we won't be resurrected. By studying and reviewing these details, we are emphasizing our faith in these fundamentals. The Midrash Tanhuma adds a different reason to study these details. By studying them, it is as if we are building the Beis HaMikdash ourselves. How so? The Malbim explains. Hidden within the architectural plans are mystical and spiritual realities. These realities are not built through physical actions, but through the work of the soul. When we learn Torah, stay away from sin, and do mitzvot, we are building the third Beis HaMikdash more than if we try to construct it by hand. For this reason, the beginning of the Pasuk says, Hageid es Bnei Yisrael es Habayis, tell them, Beis Yisrael, you are the house. How the Jews act determines if there will be a Mikdash. The next two psukim continue telling the people that they will build the Mikdash according to all its precise details discussed in the last three prakim, from the floor plan to the buildings to the dimensions of the gates. The Malbim tells us that building the third Beis HaMikdash is no simple matter. We can't follow the psukim and make a model ourselves. While you can find beautiful renditions of the second Beis HaMikdash, you won't find them of the third. All three Batei Mikdash and Mishkan did have some common elements that we could represent, like the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. There are some optional elements that change from Beis HaMikdash to Beis HaMikdash, but those were very minor details. And then, there are details that will only be revealed by a Navi when the Beis HaMikdash is the permanent home of Hashem, never to be destroyed. When Ezra returned to build the second Beis HaMikdash, he did not get a Nevuah explaining how to interpret the Pesukim in Yechezkel, as it was not yet time for the permanent building. Pasuk Gimel, verse 13, begins a new topic that will continue till the conclusion of the Sefer, how the nation will serve Hashem in the new Beis HaMikdash. Psukim Yud Gimel through Yud Zayin, 13-17, talks about the Mizbeach, the altar. The Rambam says in Beis HaBechira, chapter 2, that this Mizbeach had a designated location and could not be moved. It was built in the same spot where Adam and Noach brought Karbonos, where Avram tied Yitzchak for the Akedah, and in the same spot as the Mizbeach in the times of the first Beis HaMikdash. As we said in Perek Mem, chapter 40, the Mizbeach will be in the center of the inner courtyard, which is in the center of the outer courtyard, which is in the exact center of the Temple Mount, which is in the center of Israel, which is Tabor HaAretz, the center of the world. The Mizbeach looked like three squares stacked on top of each other, sort of like a wedding cake with its three levels. For each level, the Psukim list the vertical height of the layer and how much of the top surface of that level is visible, because the rest of the surface is covered by the square above it. It also delineates the square footage of the top level surface area so the size of the rest of the levels can be calculated. Not all measurements of the Mizbeach are detailed here. The Mefarshim looked to Maseches Midos that describes the Mizbeach during the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, as that is said to be identical to the Mizbeach in the third Beis HaMikdash. In Pasuk Gimel, the bottom level is called the Chek, which is what is called everywhere else in halachic literature, the Yesod. The visible horizontal surface of the bottom layer is called the Azara Ketana or Azara HaTachtona, the smaller or lower courtyard. The middle layer is called the Sovev, and its visible flat surface is called the Azara Gedola, the greater courtyard. The top level is called either Harel or Ariel. Elsewhere, it's called the Gag HaMizbeach, the roof of the altar. On this top was a wood pile to burn the karbanos. Positioned in the four corners of the top level were protrusions called the karnos, the horns. Pasuk Gimel, verse 13. Ela midos hamizbeach ba'amos. These are the measurements of the mizbeach in Amos. Ama, ama v'tofach. It is measured with an ama and an ama and a tefach. In halacha, there are two different lengths for Amos. An ama can be 5 hand breadths, or an ama can be 6 hand breadths. It's sort of like a dozen in a baker's dozen. The Rishonim disagree here which part of the mizbeach are measured with a 5 tefachim ama and which are measured with a 6 tefachim ama. According to Rashi, this Pasuk Yud Gimel 13 tells us that the three components of the Mizbeach that were measured with a 5 tefach ama were the height of the bottom layer, the visible horizontal surface of the middle layer, and the horns in the four corners. Everything else was measured with a 6 tefach ama. The top level was divided into four quadrants, and there was a perimeter around the top level where the karbanos could not be offered. In Pasuk Tes Zayin, verse 16, it tells us that one of these four areas where karbanos were burned, what is called the Ariel, measures 12 by 12. Pasuk Yud Zayin tells us that the Azara, which is the whole top level, including the area where the karbanos could not be burned, measured 14 by 14. Since there were two squares next to two squares, the whole area on top measured 28 amos squares. In the four corners were horns, and leading up to the Mizbeach was a ramp. Although the Pasuk says that it faced east, it really faced south to north, left to right. After ascending the ramp, the Kohanim needed to be able to turn right and then be facing right east when they turned right. So that's why the Pesukim mentioned the word east in the Pesukim. For this reason, the ramp was situated in the north-south direction. From Pesukim Yud Ches to Chaf Zayin, 18 to 27, the topic shifts again. After describing the Mizbeach, we will learn about the week-long Karbanos process that consecrated the Mizbeach for regular times. There was a similar process during the inauguration days in the Mishkan and at the dedication of the Beis HaMikdash of Shlomo. There are differences in these ceremonies as they reflect their times and occur so infrequently that there is no mandated procedure for this kind of inauguration. It should be noted from this point onward that there are contradictions between the halachos in the Torah and what Yecheskel states should be done with the karbanos in the times of the third Beis HaMikdash. This challenge almost causes Sefer to be hidden and not included in the books of Tanakh. We'll explain more about this in future Prakim. The section begins with Hashem telling Yecheskel what to do so that the Mizbeach can be used in the future. On the first day, Pasuk Yotzeh, verse 19, Yecheskel is told that he is to give the children of Tzadok a cow to offer as a Karban Chatas. Hashem addresses Yecheskel directly, in singular second person, V'nasata el ha-Kohanim ha-Leviim, and you personally will give the Kohanim who are the Leviim. Since Yecheskel is a Kohen, he will be the one to consecrate the Mizbeach after Tchiyas HaMesim. The Radak says that either Yecheskel will be the Kohen Gadol, or he will be the second in charge to Aaron HaKohen. Yecheskel is to take the blood from this karban and put it on the four corners, like with a regular karban, and then in addition, sprinkle it either on the top according to Rashi, or at the base, the Chipar Tahu, and purify it. By consecrating the Mizbeach in this way, Yecheskel will be preparing it for holy use. Yecheskel is then told to take the cow and burn it outside of the temple grounds where specific karbanos were taken to be burnt, rather than doing so inside the temple courtyards. The next day, instead of a cow, the Kohen will bring a goat as a karban chatas, as well as a bull and a ram as karban ola. This is to happen, Pasuk Chaf Hei, verse 25, for 7 days they should bring the goat as the chatas each day, as well as a young bull and a ram. Pasuk Chavav, for 7 days, Yechapru es haMizbeach v'tiharu oso u'milu yadav. They should purify the Mizbeach and make a tahor so that they will consecrate it. The parak concludes, Pasuk of Zion, verse 27, that from the 8 days and onward, Yasu haKohanim al haMizbeach es eloseichem v'shalmechem v'ratzisi eschem. The priests, the Kohanim, will make on the Mizbeach your olos burnt offerings, the shlamim, the peace offerings, and I will accept you. In this parak, Yechezkel witnesses the Shekhinah of Hashem returning to the Beis HaMikdash. He is told to teach the people the details of the construction so they may study it to fortify their faith in the redemption and make themselves worthy of being resurrected. The parak concludes with the construction, dedication, and use of the Mizbeach in the center of the inner courtyard. Thank you for studying together, Li'loi Nishmas Malka Esther Bas Tzvi Yosef.